Good morning, everybody. Today I'm going to present on the topic Open Pit Mine Production Scheduling with Uncertainty, Lagrangian Relaxation and Branch and Cut Algorithm. In my presentation, I have an introduction of the problem. Then I'll discuss about the method proposed in this work. Then I'll validate the model using the two small data sets. I will present a case study to apply our proposed method in a in case specifics and data sets. I will finish making the presentation with a conclusion and the highlighting some future works. The stochastic mine production scheduling aims to maximize profit by assigning the blocks into different production period, subject to certain sets of constraints. The stochasticity comes from the different sources, which includes the geological the uncertainties, the mining cost uncertainties, as well as mining price uncertainties. In this specific presentation, we are going to highlight mostly on the geological uncertainties. However, this proposed method can be very easily applicable to the other sorts of uncertainty without much difficulties. So when we have a objective functions and set of constraints, and as long as those objective functions and constraints are linear and our decision variables are the linear or integer, we can solve the problem optimally. But the issue is that when the number of variables are significantly very high and most of those variables are integer in nature, so the computational times associated with this problem is significantly high. For an example, if I am dealing with the mines having a billions and billions mining blocks with a more than 15 to 20 production periods, so using the existing the computational efficiency, no commercial solver can solve this specific problem optimally. However, different researchers have proposed different algorithms which are very near to optimal or very close to the optimal, which includes some of the research based on the penalizing the deviation from the target productions, incorporating geological risk discounting. So these algorithms or the methods perform well with a medium to small deposits. However, to solve the large scale deposits, these specific algorithms need good initial solution, which means that the set of pushbacks. Even if we are using the pushbacks with a geological risk discounting based algorithm, the computational times is still very high. The main goal of this presentation or this work is to define the methodology which can reduce the computational time significantly and at the same time which doesn't believe much on the initial solution, which means that if I am providing a orbody model and I am plugging that with the algorithms, so it will automatically solve the problem without defining the ultimate pit as well as pushbacks. To solve the problem, as we know that stochastic production scheduling, we need to solve the problem simultaneously over the production period. However, when we are solving for large scale problem, we always need to do some sorts of approximation. So in this specific the work, we have approximated our the approach by solving the production scheduling problem in sequential manner, which means that I am using the orbody models. I am solving the problem for the first production period, assigning the blocks for that period, and then eliminating those blocks from the existing orbody model. And the rest of the blocks will be used as input for the next production periods. And this process is repetitive until and unless I leave a single blocks within the orbody model which can profitably be extracted. So the process is very simple and it's repetitive in nature. to demonstrate how we can solve the problem, we start with a specific formulation. So this is a well-known production scheduling, the formulation incorporating uncertainties, and as I have mentioned, we are incorporating the geological uncertainties. So first equation here is we try to maximize our profit or the net present value, and in this equation we have a decision variable xit which defines that if block I is going to be extracted in the production period t, so the value of xit is going to be 1, otherwise it will be 0. The CIS is a block economic value of the block I from the simulation S, and the R is the discounting factor for the extracting a block from a specific production period. So you can see from this equation, we try to maximize this thing over a production period of T and number of simulation S. And it consists of a number of constants, and including those constants, we have a two type of constant. One is the hard constant and others are the soft constants. So hard constant includes the first two sets of constant, and the first constant tells us that if I want to extract a block I from production period T, so it is going to be extracted once and only once over the life of the mine. Otherwise, it will be live within the our body model without mined. So this type of constant are called the reserve constant. And then we have a slope constant, which tells that if we want to extract block I in production period T, we have to extract all set of blocks which are overlying of that specific block before extracting that block I. So these two set of constants are the hard constant, and we cannot violate them at any moment of time during my operations. Apart from that, we have a set of resource constant, which includes the mining constants, processing constants, metal production constant, and many more. So as we mentioned, this is a soft constant, which means that it can deviates from its target. So if we see that W is representing here is the target, the production, which may be mining, processing, or metal productions, and we have some the allowable deviation D. Here suffix J represents the jth constraint in the problem formulation. And the value or the Q is representing a linear functions of that specific production constant. And these two sets of constants tells that if I want to extract a set of blocks for a production period T, so the sum of that, the value should not be less than W plus D and should not be more than W minus D. So it's a bound between two different values. And then we have the bound for the deviation, which means that we are not allowing an infinite deviation. So we can restrict the deviation within a reasonable amount. And the user or the mine planner has the role to fix this deviation depending on the target and production scenarios. Say for example, if I am selling a specific product with a specific grade value to a customers, and the customers have always the target value with the plus minus deviation. So the mine planner can fix this deviation based on that target values. And then we have a XIT, which is a decision variables, that block is going to be extracted or not going to be extracted from period T. And then I have a value of DST, which should be greater than 0. So this formulation is a mixed integer type of formulation, because we have the integer variable XIT and we have real variables DST. So this the problems looks very simple when we presenting mathematically, but when we try to solve it using any commercial solver, it's take a huge computational time when the number of simulation and the number of the production periods and number of the blocks within the block models are significantly high. So as we have discussed that we try to solve it sequentially. So when you solve it sequentially, so we can solve the problem for first production period. Say for an example, so if I am modifying this equation for the first period, so the small t will be varying from 1 to capital T. So in this case, capital T value will be exactly 1. And so if I am using that capital T value is 1, so the first, the constant, which is the reserve constant, sum of xi t is less than equal to 1, will be the eliminated, since my decision variable can take care of that constant itself. So then I have the modified formulation for the first production period, which can significantly reduce the computational time. However, if we see that the modified formulation, which is the more simplified than the actual one, however, computational time for that problem itself is significantly higher. To further reduce the computational time, what we have done here, we have relaxed those resource constraints, which is the soft constant in our case, like this QJ constant, two sets of QJ constant, and bring them to my objective function in terms of a Lagrangian multiplier. So if we rewrite the equation, which will be looks like this, where the first term defines the actual objective function for the one production periods, and that's the reason why we have eliminated term T from here. Then the consecutive two terms are representing that relax the production target constant, which are basically the resource constant. And we have a set of multipliers called etas and betas for different the production the constants. And we are representing those betas and etas within the vectors or sets, lambdas, which includes all sets of etas and betas, where the j is 1s to capital J's and S is 1 to capital S, which are the number of simulation and the number of constant. So if we see this formulation, and we have only one the constant, which is the slope constant, and one decision variable that xi is either 0 or 1. So this formulation looks very the common to us, because we know this is a well-known graph closure formulation, and we can solve this problem very efficiently if we are using any graph cut algorithms. However, to solve this problem, we need to know the value of the lambdas, the set of lambdas, which includes that etas and betas value. To calculate those the lambda values, we have used a subgradient algorithm where we are iteratively updated my lambda parameters. So what we are doing here, we are starting with the random initial solution of lambdas, and we are iteratively updating it. So in this equation, you can see the lambda pi is the lambda value at p plus 1 iteration, and the lambda p is the lambda values at pth iteration. And the Kp can be represented in the given equation, where rho is varying from 0 to 2, and phi lambda p is my objective function values from the pth iteration. The objective function value means that the relaxed objective function value what we presented in last slides. The z is the so far best feasible solution we can found. And the LP can be calculated from the last equation, where the first two terms represent the bounds, and the QAJ is basically representing the amount of resources we can obtain from that specific solution obtained by using the lambda P values, means that pth iteration values of UJ. So if we use this specific the equations and try to solve it, and we can solve it iteratively with a specific the stopping criteria. So when we finish this algorithm, so we'll generate a solution, and that solution we define as a z upper bound solution. So this specific solution, after using the Lagrangian relaxation, provides a very good upper bound solution. However, it doesn't guarantee the feasible solution, because feasibility doesn't be maintained in that specific the previous formulation. To maintain the feasibility, we have applied the another techniques, where this z star we defining a feasible solution, but it is unknown to us. However, if we have the solution which is lower bound solution, like a green shaded regions, if I can found out that solution, and I can select some of the blocks from the right hand figures, the green shaded regions, and add it with if we select some of the blocks from the blue shaded regions and add them to the green shaded regions, so we may generate a solution which can be feasible one. To demonstrate this idea, I am telling you or describing you how we can generate the green shaded regions, as well as how we can select some of the blocks from the blue shaded regions. To generate the green shaded regions, which we are defining here as a lower bound solution, can be obtained by parametric algorithms. This specific algorithm we have proposed in the last COSMO meetings. Here we are the parameterize my objective functions and replacing the block economy value CI with a PI, where PI is the lambda multiplied by CI when CI is greater than 0 for all simulation S, and CI is leave as it is CI when the CI value is 0 or negative, which means that we are only parameterize those blocks which having block economy value positive. And the parameter lambda here is the different than the previous lambdas, because when we work with the lambda Lagrangian multiplier, we had the lambda which is a vector of the variables or parameters. However, in this case, the lambda is a scalar values. And another the difference here is that the lambda can be perfectly bounded within 0 to 1. And as we know that if I am using lambda equal to 1, we are going to get a solution which is basically ultimate bits of that specific deposit. So our approach is very simple. We are starting with a very small value of lambdas and iterating with iteration and solving that objective functions with this constant, which is again is the graph closure type of formulation with a unimodularity matrix which can solve using any minimum cut algorithm, and we have used the push reliable algorithm for solving it. So we are iteratively updating my lambda parameters as long as the value of that resource constants within the solution space should be less than my target value. So if I have a S number of the simulation, or say J number of constants, so for all the constants, the solution value, present solution value, should be within that target production values. So means that at any point of time, we are not going to violate the constraint at that specific lower bound solution. So what we are going to get? We are going to get a solution which can respect the constraint for that specific target from the different the resource constraint. And then the second step, we need to some blocks to be added with that lower bound solution. So to do that, we are reformulating our problem. So for an example, what we have understand from previous slides, that we have a upper bound solution which can be generated from the Lagrangian relaxation, and we have a lower bound solution which are generated by parametric approach. So in this case, that the white shaded region with a green boundaries is representing the lower bound solution, and the final contour of this specific the figures is representing the upper bound solution, and the red, the rough contour lines, is defining my the unknown feasible optimum solution. So as long as this problem is concerned, we have a good lower bound solution. So now we have to select some of the block from the pink seeded region, and that has to be added with the white the lower bound solution to get a feasible solution. To do that, we have reformulated our problems, and we have the same sorts of objective functions. However, number of blocks here is not capital N, but it's a N nu, where N nu is the N1 minus N2, where N2 is the number of blocks in my the Lagrangian relaxation solution, and N2 is the number of blocks in my lower bound solution. And so you can understand the number of blocks falling in this pink shaded region are significantly very less. And then what we have that the slope constants, and we have a set of resource constant. So to modify the resource constant, so what we have done, we have deducted the value of the resources what we obtained from my lower bound solution. So if you see these two equations, so we have deducted value of Wj Lbs for where the Wj is the JLB is the amount of resources within the lower bound solution for that specific resource constant J from the simulation S. And we have bring back our the bound of deviations, which is the ds is less than equal to capital du, and we have the decision variables, and we have a n nu is n1 minus n2. So if you see this formulation, we have a n nu, the number of blocks in the pink shaded regions, which is very significantly different from that the actual blocks in the block model, which means it's the very very less than the actual block number of blocks in the block model. So since number of blocks are significantly less, so we can solve this problem optimally. And for solving this one, we have used the branch and cut algorithms using the simplex solver. So after solving this problem, so we will able to select some of the blocks from the pink shaded regions, and we can add them with the white shaded regions. So that will gives me the solution for the first production period. So what we'll do, we'll eliminate those blocks from the actual block model, and then we'll use the rest of the blocks for the solving the next production periods. And this process is repetitive in nature until and unless we are going to get the solution where no more single block has left in my block model without mind, which can be profitable in nature. So this is all about the ideas how we the solve the problem with the computationally the easiest manner by reducing a significant amount of computational time. To validate our model, we have used a two problem sets. One consists of 3000 blocks around, and another consists of a 5000 blocks. And number of periods for first problem is 2 years, and the second problem is 3 years. And what we have done to validate our model, we have solved the problem 1 and problem 2 using the simplex solver. How with the actual formulation what we have seen with the t equal to 1 to capital T. So and since that is also computationally complex, so we have relaxed the integer, the constant, when we solve that the simplex solver. So which means that we have obtained the solution from the simplex, which is a linear relaxation solution. And as we know, the linear relaxation provides the upper bound solution. So in this case, we are always comparing our results with the upper bound solution. So to compare our approach with the simplex results, we have calculated the gap, and the gap is nothing other than the difference between our objective function value from the objective function values from the simplex solvers, and that can be calculated using this equation, and we have make it in percentage form. And we have found that optimality gap for the problem 1 and problem 2 are very reasonable within the 2% of the gap. And when you compare the computational time, we have seen that we have significantly reduced the computational times as compared to the CPLEX solver. But when you can compare the problem number 1 and problem number 2, you can easily found or easily observe that the amount of the computational time reduction in the problem 2 is significantly higher as compared to the problem 1, which means that if you see the computational time using CPLEX solver for the problem 1 and problem 2, they are basically growing exponentially, which means that as number of the decision variables are growing very high, as we are increasing number of blocks and number of production period, so the computational time for the CPLEX solver will be also the increase exponentially. However, as we are using the sequential manners, so the computational time increase from the problem 1 to problem 2 is linear in nature in our case. So that can give an idea that when we have a large production periods with a large number of the blocks in the block models, so the computational time for solving using our proposed method is the linear in nature, which means that it never ever comes with a situation where we will not able to solve the problem, even if we have a billions and billions blocks. To apply our proposed method in a case study, we have selected a copper gold deposits with a 20 simulated ore body models, and we have a 16,532 blocks in the ore body. We have chosen 7 production period and consist of a ore and metal production target 7.1 million ton and 4.8 thousand ton respectively, and we have a mining production limits of 25 million tons. And as we have seen that we allowed some deviation in our model to deviate from the production targets, so maximum allowable deviation here is 13%, and that is applicable to the ore and metal production target. We have not put any source of deviation for the mining production target limit. So when you solve the problem iteratively, as we have discussed earlier, so we can generate a schedule. And this two figures shows the two different sections in two different locations in the specific mines for that schedule for the period 1 to period 7. So as you can see from this figure, when you are going to get a final schedule, we automatically going to get a ultimate pit. So it's very good to see that we need not to define or calculate the ultimate pit limit for solving this problem. So we can just use our body model, fit it to my the proposed methods and solve it sequentially, which ultimately gives you the schedule as well as the ultimate pit. So after generating the schedule, we have calculated the risk or the risk profile of that schedule. We have calculated risk profile for ore productions as well as the metal productions. And what we have for calculating the risk profile, what we have done, we have used the generator schedule, calculate the value from the different the simulation. In this case, we have used 20 simulation, and calculate the minimum value, maximum value, and expected value from that specific production period. And we have plotted in this figure. So you can see from both the graphs that we have a smooth production of ore as well as metal over the life of the mines without much deviation. So from this specific observation, we can say that the proposed algorithm can very much able to respect the production target. This specific figures represents the cumulative metal quantities over the life of the productions. For in case of this example, we have 7 years. And what we can observe from here that as we are moving from first period to the last period, the risk of generating that metal are going to increase, which means that we have a very less amount of risk at the initial production periods, and we have a more risk at the final the or the latter periods, which tells us that we have a valid the schedule, which means that we are deferring the risk for the latter periods and going to get those mines, those blocks extracted such that we have a less amount of the risk at the initial periods. So same thing we have observed when we calculated the net present values, and the risk profile tells us that we have a less risk in the initial periods and we have a higher risk at the latter period. To compare our proposed approach, we have apply a deterministic model which obtained from the averaging of all 20 simulated ore body models. So basically here we are comparing the stochastic model or the uncertainty model, what we have proposed so far, and a deterministic version of the same algorithm. So in this specific comparison, we are not comparing with any other methods, but we are comparing the same methods with the stochastic version with the deterministic version. And then after generating the schedule with the deterministic version, we have calculated the risk profile using the Turnitin simulated ore body model. And here we compared the maximum deviation from the targets. So this figures represents the ore production targets, and the blue straight line representing the maximum allowable deviation, which is 13% in this case. What we observe from this figure, that in our proposed case, which is the blue bars, for all the production period, we are able to respect the target production deviation. However, in case of deterministic versions, we have fails to make our deviation within the maximum allowable deviation. In this example, we have seen that at least for three production periods, we have deviates from the maximum allowable deviation if we are going to use the deterministic model for scheduling the deposit. The same thing as observed when we calculate the maximum deviation for the metal productions, and we have seen that in our proposed approach, which is the stochastic versions, we are able to respect the deviation. However, in case of deterministic one, we fail to respect the deviation and we have violates for at least three production periods. So finally, we have compared our methods in terms of a net present values, and we can see that when you compare the expected values from our proposed the stochastic versions with the deterministic one, we can generate 11% more net present value as compared to the deterministic model. So to wrap up my presentation, the conclusion of this work is that we can say that proposed algorithm can solve the problem very efficiently, and if we want to use some sorts of a stochastic integer programming to generate a good optimum solution, we can use our proposed algorithm as the initial solution for that specific problem. Or when we have a large deposits where we cannot use a stochastic integer programmings, we can directly use our proposed algorithm to solve it. In terms of a computational times, we have seen from the validation examples that we can reduce computational time significantly. In case of this specific example of case study, we have solved the problem for the 7 years within the very reasonable amount of time, which is only 37.2 minutes. And we have seen the proposed approach can increase the net present value 11% more as compared to the deterministic model of the same approach. To highlight the future work, as you can see from our objective function, we have not penalized the deviation from the targets. So however, we have put a specific deviation, allowable deviation values. So if we want to restrict our deviation, we can penalize them by putting some penalty term in our objective functions. As we have mentioned, incorporating other sorts of uncertainties are very easy in this specific approach, and we can go with that to solve if we want to incorporate other uncertainty. And we are thinking to reduce the deviation by recursion approach. So in this specific type of formulation, we are planning to have the feasible solution, and if we are generating a feasible solution, we are reducing the deviations and try to resolve the problem as long as we are going to get a feasible solution. So that are the specific goal for the next couple of months or year. So this is the conclusion of my presentation. Thank you for your attention.